If you have your Bible, I invite you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 6 as we continue our way through the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 6, we'll consider verses 25 through 34, a familiar passage to all, I'm sure. Because our sovereign covenant Father knows our needs, rules our future, and has secured us in Christ, corrosive worry is sinful unbelief. Because our sovereign covenant Father knows, He knows our needs, He rules our future, and He has secured us in Christ, corrosive worry is sinful unbelief. And it must be replaced with kingdom first trust expressed in prayerful dependence. Our text for this morning is Matthew chapter 6. We'll consider verses 25 through 34. I remind you that what is being read is the very word of God. Before we read it, let's ask Him to bless the reading of it to us. Let's pray together. Our Father, our God, again, this is your word. It's holy, inspired, inerrant, infallible, I pray. Our only rule of faith and practice. And Lord, as we've opened it this morning, we pray that you would open us. Lay our hearts bare, reveal to us, Father, where we are sinning in our worry. Quiet our anxious hearts. Teach us, Lord, to walk with you because you walk with us. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. If you would, please stand with me. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into heaven, into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? O you of little faith, therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our Lord stands true forever. Amen. Please be seated. Because our sovereign covenant Father knows our needs, rules our future, and has secured us in Christ, corrosive worry is sinful unbelief. And we must replace it with kingdom first trust expressed in prayerful dependence. We live in a world of rising cost, fragile health, strained families, and cultural upheaval. And anxiety feels normal, doesn't it? It's as if it's become the norm. Worry creeps in quietly, but it settles deeply. It steals peace and clouds our joy. And it's into that world Jesus speaks plainly to us this morning. And here's what he says. Do not worry. This isn't advice given to us by our Lord and Savior. It's not a suggestion. This is an imperative of Scripture. Jesus is commanding us, his sons and daughters, those who have repented of their sin and placed their faith and trust in him alone as their Lord and Savior, to not worry. But I want you to realize something, that this command is not cold. It's not a cold command. It comes from the lips of the one who calls God your heavenly Father. And he does not shame the anxious. But what he does is confront unbelief. So I don't want to see this as a cold command given by our Lord. Do not worry. Because, as I reminded you, it comes from the lips of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who encourages us and teaches us to pray, Our Father. He's not shaming you because you worry and you're anxious, but he is confronting this morning your unbelief. Christian love is confrontation. And what I mean by that is this. A true brother or sister in Christ is one willing to speak truth into your life out of love. Amen. And sometimes we need to confront each other as Christ is confronting us this morning and telling us clearly, stop worrying. Don't do that. Now, you don't need to tell me. I know this is probably your favorite pastime. We all worry to some degree, don't we? We all know that Jesus is telling us clearly not to worry, but we're worry warts. You can tell me you're not. I struggle to believe you. Jesus is confronting us today. And he's telling us clearly, don't worry. Do not worry. You need to remember the Apostle Paul echoes the same great truth in 2 Timothy. He says, the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. He tells us elsewhere in Philippians, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer. So Christ is telling us in a loving way, as his sons and daughters this morning, to stop worrying. Before we go on, we need to define what Jesus is really saying here. The word translated worry or anxious is a Greek word that literally means to be divided. Now, I need you to hear this. To be divided. We all think of worry as something that's not harmful. That's not really that big of a deal, because we all worry all the time. It's just natural to us in our fallen state to be people who are anxious about tomorrow, who worry about certain things. Some of us are better at it than others. But what we need to understand is the word here means to be divided, or it means to be pulled apart. Now that's pretty strong language. And what Jesus is telling us is that when we worry, we're divided. When we worry about this and we worry about that, or we're anxious about this or we're anxious about that, we are being pulled apart. We're being divided and pulled apart. The word describes a mind that's fractured, I think, by care. By care. It's a heart distracted and torn in different directions by fear of the future. It's not something to just pass by or something just to excuse in yourself. Something to say, well, that's just the way I am. I'm hardwired to be a worry wart. Therefore, I just have to deal with that. No, Jesus is saying, no, you don't have to deal with that. And by the way, stop doing that. Stop dividing yourself and tearing yourself apart. Now, don't misunderstand me. Not all concern is sinful. But note the word concern. Quite different than the word, the Greek word here translated worry. Scripture commands responsible planning, right? Paul speaks of proper concern for the churches. He does so in 2 Corinthians 11. So there is such a thing as godly vigilance and wise preparation. But corrosive worry is different. And that's what Jesus is talking about this morning in our passage. He's talking about corrosive worry. And what corrosive worry is anxious preoccupation rooted in unbelief. Let me say that again. Corrosive worry is anxious preoccupation rooted in unbelief. It's a faith-eroding fixation on future threats that questions God's providence, displaces trust in His fatherly care, and attempts to control what belongs to Him alone. It's a faith-eroding fixation on future threats, possible threats, that really, in summary, calls to question who God really is. It's corrosive because it eats away at faith. It chokes the word, Mark chapter 4. It dishonors covenant promises. It paralyzes obedience. And it slowly replaces trust with self-reliance. You see, corrosive worry is not constructive concern. And far too many of us have excused our sin as being concerned. We've fallen into the trap of believing that because we're concerned, it's okay. But in reality, we're worrying. And it's become corrosive. It's distrust, really. It's distrust dressed as prudence. It really is. And beloved, I need you to understand, Jesus forbids it here. He forbids it. Now, three truths, I believe, anchor this passage. Here's the first. You can see it in verses 25 through 30. Worry forgets your father. Worry forgets your father. Look at your text. Jesus points to the birds and lilies. And he says, they don't sow, they don't spin, yet God feeds and clothes them. And then he asks something very striking that strikes really at our heart. He asks this question, are you not much more valuable than they? Beloved, this is covenant logic. If God sustains birds, if God adores flowers, how much more is children? Calvin wrote, we are unjust to God when we distrust His providence, for we rob Him of the honor due to His fatherly care. Thomas Watson also said, distrust of God is the mother of anxiety. I gotta love the Puritan. The more faith, the less care. Jesus says that anxiety reveals what? Little faith. Little faith. I want you to note something. Jesus doesn't say there, or Jesus doesn't say that worry reveals no faith, right? Jesus says it reveals little faith. There's a difference between struggling faith and stubborn unbelief. You understand that, don't you? There's a difference between struggling with your faith, wrestling with the truths of Scripture, and how God's providentially working all things for His glory and your good here, and stubborn unbelief. There's a difference between the trembling saint who cries, "Help my unbelief," and the one who says point blank, "I don't believe." The one who cries, "Help my unbelief," I remind you, is still what? His child. But understand, corrosive worry dishonors the Father's providence. John Flavel wrote, "Unbelief is the root of anxiety. Faith is the cure." Quite frankly, I don't like the word anxiety. It's tied to so much psychobabble stuff today that it's been absolutely distorted. And really it's become focused on the physical response to corrosive worry. That's how it's described in today's world. My palms get sweaty, my heart starts beating, the room starts to spin, I want to panic attacks and all those things. And really, we've taken the focus off the heart and put our entire focus on the body, where we as believers need to put the focus on both soul and body. Amen. So it's more than just a psychobabble thing that the world embraces, because the world doesn't get what it wants. Most people's anxiety stems from the fact that they don't get what they want and they don't know how to deal with that. And it's a shame that so many people today are medicated because they are filled with sin and corrosive worry. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not preaching against medication for certain things. I am saying, though, let's not take our eye off the ball and forget really what's happening here. We want to minister to the whole man, not just through his sweaty palms. We want to minister to the man's soul as well as his body. And what Jesus is saying is this: corrosive worry is sin, period. And it impacts the entire man, both the inner man and the outer man. And he's telling us, stop. Stop. If you're mine, stop. And he gives us this question here that's just mind-blowing. Are you not much more valuable than birds and flowers? Think about it. I love how direct and plain Christ is here. He's doing it in a loving manner, but he is rebuking the sin, right? He's correcting people here. He's not being gentle. He is being loving. Because we struggle with this. The Spirit is not one of fear for those who are in Christ Jesus. Fear is not the Spirit's fruit. Far too many of us live as if fear is the Spirit's fruit. Timidity is not our inheritance. Being afraid is not our inheritance given to us by the God of the universe. Fear is not what's given to us. Worry forgets who our Father is. Two, worry replaces your King. Worry not only forgets who our Father is, worry replaces our King. Look at verses 31 through 33. Jesus repeats it again: do not worry. Now listen, pagans chase provision. Pagans chase provision because they do not know the Father. And when we obsess over security, control, and provision, what we are doing is enthroning something else. And Luther said this: when we worry, we're saying that God is a liar and he cannot be trusted. That's strong. Very convicting. How many of you obsess? Obsess about tomorrow. Obsess about your children. Obsess about your retirement and if it's going to last and how much are you going to have and are you going to have enough? How much do you obsess about worldly security? Luther says what you're doing is you're calling God a liar. And you're saying you can't trust Him. Jeremiah Burroughs wrote, "Unbelief makes us question God's wisdom, doubt His love, and suspect His faithfulness." You see, beloved, here it is. Worry's not merely weakness. I believe it's misplaced worship. Worry is not merely weakness. It's misplaced worship. And we've been convinced that worry, us being obsessive in our worry, is just a weakness we were born with. Just a weakness we have. It's a personality quirk. You know what I meant. Now, don't get me wrong. Some of us, Lloyd Jones is right here, some of us were born really with a tendency to be more prone to worry. That's true. We're all different to some degree. But that doesn't change the root. Lloyd Jones never changes the root cause and never says we should be worriers because being a worry wart is actually sinning against God. So let's be clear. Worry is misplaced worship. And Jesus gives us the remedy to the world's problem. Do you know how many people today are on such medications as Xanax and other things? So many young children, Aaron can vouch for this or not, maybe you can't legally, and maybe I shouldn't say it either as a biblical counselor, but it's disappointing to see that a young person struggling a little bit, worried and anxious about what they look like, and growing up pains, the normal growing up pains we all do, taken to the doctor, immediately put on some kind of anxiety medication. At very young ages, we're training young people to sin against God. Now, don't get me wrong, and you guys know me well enough by now. The little girl struggling with worry, my heart goes to, and I will minister to her all day long. And I believe many of you would too. But we live in a world that just wants to medicate it away. Excuse sin with medication. Now, sometimes we need some medication to help us think clearly. But at the same time, it should never be used as a crutch to sin. And we should always call it what it is. All right? Because we're all guilty of it. I'm guilty of it. You're guilty of it. I've worried when I shouldn't worry. You've worried when you shouldn't worry. We all struggle with this. Jesus levels the playing field here. Matthew Henry says, "The way to be provided for is to seek the things of God first. When we mind our duty, God will mind our comfort." Amen. You see, Jesus gives us the remedy to our worry. He says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and what? His righteousness." He doesn't say, "Seek your comfort, seek your peace, seek your security, then seek me." He says, "Here's the answer to your problem, beloved. Seek first the kingdom of God. Kill your kingdom. Burn it down." That's what Jesus is saying. Seek my kingdom and my righteousness. Because when we do that, our love is reordered. Our pursuits are realigned. And the king is restored to his throne. And Jesus promises us something here. Look at your text. "All these things will be added to you." All these things you're worrying about will be added to you. Seek me first and my righteousness, and I'll take care of the rest. Provision, guys, follows kingdom priority. And Paul echoes this. He says, pray instead of panic. I rewrote a lot of scripture for this sermon. Pray instead of panic. Give thanks instead of grasping. Watson beautifully said, faith sees God behind every trouble. Do you see God behind every trouble? Listen, you're not an orphan scrambling for scraps. You're an adopted heir of the God of the universe who does not need to eat table scraps. Your inheritance is one that will never spoil, fade, or perish. The God of the universe has sent Christ, His only begotten Son, as your provision. Do you not think He'll provide for your daily needs? 3, quickly. Worry borrows from tomorrow and robs today of grace. Here it is. Jesus concludes here. He says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Notice He doesn't deny trouble here. He doesn't deny trouble. And He's not minimizing suffering. I want to be careful with that word. And He's not mocking our burdens. He's not. And far too often we can come off as if we are doing that. What He's saying, I think He says plainly, each day, guys, has enough trouble of its own. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And what this, I believe, is compassionate realism. You see, worry does something spiritually destructive. It drags imagined tomorrows into today's grace. It piles hypothetical disasters on the present day mercies. It attempts to live in a future God has not even given to you yet. We're not even guaranteed tomorrow, but we sure will worry about tomorrow, won't we? We're not even given tomorrow. You don't know if you'll be here tomorrow. I don't know if I'll be here tomorrow. We're not given tomorrow, but yet we'll worry about it. If we started living in the reality that we might not even be here tomorrow, maybe we wouldn't worry about it. But then we would worry about not being here tomorrow. And then we would worry about, well, who will take care of him? Or who will take care of her? And then, well, who will take care of the children, right? It just goes on and on and on and on. And we're not even guaranteed the next hour. And we're worried about lunch. And we're worried about, my Lord, it's 5 of 11. He's not done preaching yet. We got to get through communion. What are we going to do? Calvin said, Christ would free us from the torture of unnecessary fears. I love that. That would preach for days. Luther once said, pray and let God worry. Many of you wouldn't like Luther. I love him. He's nuts as I am. Here's the point. Tomorrow belongs to God. It doesn't even belong to you. It belongs to God. He's already there. He already knows your tomorrow. And He already rules your tomorrow. And beloved, He already holds your tomorrow. You don't have grace, beloved, today for tomorrow's trials. God didn't give you the grace today to worry about tomorrow. But when tomorrow comes, grace comes with it. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases.
His mercies never come to an end. They are new. That'll blow your mind. It blows mine standing here. They are new every morning. Great is His faithfulness. You think about it.
Our Father and our God, thank You for being so faithful. We confess, Lord, that we worry about things we can't do anything about. And for many of us, our worry has become corrosive. It's rusting us. It's decaying us. It's robbed us of our joy. We don't have peace. We're restless, can't sleep, can't eat. Lord, really, what's at stake here is our faith. Teach us, Lord, not to have little faith. Make us men and women of faith. That we would walk not by sight, not in fear, not in doubt, not in worry, but in faith. Trusting in Your providential, sovereign ruling of all things, including the very hours and minutes of our own lives. Thank You for the grace for today, Lord. It's sufficient. It's so sufficient. Give us hearts to see, receive and eyes to see how good it is. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen.